Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Deeper. As always, it's so good to be here with you. I'm Austin Slater. I've got both Tim and Dan here in the studio again. Guys, it's great to be here.
Good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch the Super Bowl at all?
Yeah, we actually watched the first half together.
We did.
Yeah. Nice.
That's probably why it was so boring.
You know? It was kind of boring.
Got very exciting after you two split up.
That's right.
Yeah, I did.
God
yeah.
was like, these two should not be in the same room when everything gets interesting. Well, I learned an interesting fact about the Super Bowl, and this Super Bowl was the highest watched show on American television history.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
So it got over, let's see, I wrote it here. It is the most watched TV broadcast ever in the United States with over 123.7 million viewers, which is crazy because that's basically 34% of the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
You got like a good third of the country just sitting watching the exact same show, which is very impressive. Also worth noting, much higher than what we have for Deeper, and for that I'm grateful.
What?
Shockingly enough.
Maybe if we have Dan try to kick a field goal, we can get something.
You know, I used to have some skills in that, but it'd be rough.
So I'm just, we got to pump our numbers up if we want to, you know, move from 0.00005% of the world to whatever the super.
One viewer at a time.
It's great. But we are very grateful to have everyone who's listening here. This is such a fun community. I love hearing feedback. I talk to a few of you guys outside of this, and it's always a pleasure. So very grateful for all of you and very grateful for these two pastors to share their brains. Because God knows that I do not have the brain to do what I have you do. So, Tim, this Sunday was day two of your kind of closing series. What did you talk about?
Yeah, we looked at Luke chapter 12 and Jesus' instructions to the disciples about what to do in the interim while he's gone and before he returns.
And what kind of motivated you to pick this as session two?
I don't know.
Two?
I guess I've always been fascinated by this section of Luke and kind of got hooked on the journey theme for the farewell sermons.
Mm-hmm.
And the week before, the time before, I talked about just that we are on a journey, that as a metaphor for life. And then this one sort of fit that. It was, what do we do on the journey? More like that. And Luke actually uses the metaphor of a journey to frame his gospel, which is something that I've studied before, and I thought that was fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on his way to Jerusalem, of course, for the crucifixion, but it's even more, ultimately, he's there. He's on his way to glory,
mm-hmm.
and by way of the cross. Yeah. And so I just think that's a cool setup for us. Like, this is a picture of the Christian life.
Right.
On our way to glory, following Jesus. And then these stories that Luke puts together are all about the destination, our priorities, the necessities of what that journey requires.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be, in my mind anyway, it fit.
Oh, I think it fits perfectly. And I thought it was really a great way that you started it off because you actually looked at, how do we all divide ourselves up?
Mm-hmm.
And how does God end up dividing us? And in the end, you know, there's really only two types of people, those who are ready and those who are on this journey and those who aren't.
Right.
And I thought that was a really great way to look at this because in reality, we're all journeying together mm-hmm. despite kind of separating ourselves intentionally. We do mm-hmm. that. We separate ourselves a lot, whether it's like mm-hmm. the Myers-Briggs thing that you talked about, or it's our political beliefs, or what mm-hmm. football team we like. We're really good at, man, you know, mm-hmm. these people are these people, this is this, and that's not me, that's not my group.
Right.
But we're all really just members of the same body. We're, you know, we're either ready or we're not ready.
Right.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, it wasn't the main point, but it is kind of an interesting side thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, interesting side thing on that. You did mention the Myers-Briggs, and I'm obsessed with the Myers-Briggs, so I do have to ask, do you guys know what your Myers-Briggs personality types are for the interested listener?
I've taken it, but it's been maybe 15 years, so I don't recall exactly.
Fair enough.
My letters.
I don't either. And I think I've gotten different results at different times. They're usually around INFP for me.
Okay. I take that test twice a year. so I've probably taken it enough times to make up for the amount you haven't, Dan.
Yeah.
But cool. I was just curious because, again, I'm fascinated by it.
What are you?
Up until my last retake 2 weeks ago, I was an ENFP. I'm officially an ENTP now.
Just
a slight little change.
This podcast is shaping
it's
you.
The podcast is making
no more feelings.
No more feelings, only thinking. if any of you who are listening have not looked at the Myers-Briggs test, fantastic tool to help understand yourself, but not great for dividing people into boxes, which is an important thing to do. When we do start to focus on or find ourselves dividing up into different boxes, though, we, you know, dividing into, okay, man, I can't hang out with these ENFPs, or man, I can't hang out with, you know, these people, this other denomination, or this, you know, man, these Chiefs fans or what have you. How do we kind of refocus that? How would you, Tim, suggest that we, like, okay, we're getting a little sectarian. Let's, like, bring it back to we're really these two groups.
Yeah, I think it's a very relevant question because we do divide a lot today. And, you know, I remember Jeff Genzik, shout out to Jeff, during the pandemic, his mantra was, you know, we're united in Christ. And I think that was so essential, right? This is our unity. It isn't about the politics or our positions on certain things, but ultimately it's what we do with Jesus, and if we're following him, we are more alike than those who may share the same political and economic and whatever views, which is one of the challenges and beauties of the church, is like, we are this body that's united around Jesus, but we also have to get along with whoever Jesus drags in the door.
Right.
And that may not be who we want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, the implications are huge. We have more in common with a Christian Palestinian than a secular Israeli.
Yeah.
Because that Palestinian is our brother and sister in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Not that we don't love and reach out to all folks, but to me, that's so fundamental in terms of identity.
Well, because that really, you know, it breaks us out of our worldly, like, it breaks us out of this worldly construct. Mm-hmm. It breaks us out of these systems that we have tried to construct. Says, no, Austin, you idiot. Like, you got to love these people. This is family.
I doubt God would call you an idiot. But
he definitely might say, you know what, who are you to question me, oh, Austin?
Yeah, it's so interesting because we have, in the Christian faith, the theological foundation for doing this well, and that all are created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're all on this journey, and when it comes to faith, people, we can be all over the place, but we have that basic foundational truth, which should help us relate well to each other despite all the other smaller differences that are there. I know for me, this idea of empathy keeps coming into a lot of things I'm thinking about and looking at, and when we're able to empathize well with the people around us, that helps us get over some of the smaller differences. You know, when I really try, hey, what's it like to be a Chiefs fan? Or, you know, what's it like in a more serious front to be, you know, of the opposing political party?
Sure, right? Yeah.
From a different ethnic background. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even to faith matters. You know, when I'm able to really do that well, rather than the label which says there's a wall and we can't cross it, then we're able to kind of get past some of those things. But especially in the church, if we're sharing faith, like Tim just said, we got to see the lesser importance of these other things and how we can work past and through them. But we have that foundation, right, in the church. So it's part of our journey, knowing that truth of who we are.
Right, absolutely. Tim, you'd mentioned, you'd quoted someone, I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, the quote basically said, in regards to Jesus' return, I'm not on the planning committee. I'm on the welcoming committee. Do you remember off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think that was Rick Warren. That's who I remember it being attributed to.
Gotcha. Anyway. Apologies if you hear any loud noises. I just hit my microphone and had to readjust it. So Rick Warren said that. And I found that was a great, I love that quote because, man, that's, yeah, we're not supposed to be planning. We can't plan this.
Right.
We shouldn't be planning this. We've just got to keep our perspective in mind. You know, we're supposed to work to make our community and ourselves ready for this return. I don't know how many people listening have ever been on a welcoming committee or just any committee in general, but one of the defining characteristics tends to be everyone has a different idea of how best to welcome someone home. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different idea on what a welcoming committee should do and what, you know, what you should buy and who should even be there and all of this stuff. And it really tends, a lot of the times our welcoming committees tend to become planning committees in a way. You know, it's we especially when it comes to faith, we're like, man, I want Jesus to come back and I want to give him, you know, I want the country to look like this and I want my church to look like this. I was just wondering, with that framework, obviously, you know, this is Rick Warren's quote, but what is our responsibility on the welcoming committee? What are we supposed to do to prepare for Jesus's return aside from just be faithful and do that work? Or is that it? Is that all we're supposed to do?
That work being, I guess that's the question, right? That work, what did you have in mind?
I, you know, the... the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, the work of to do justice, love mercy, and walk mm-hmm. humbly with God, to go out and make disciples of all the nations, to mm-hmm. fulfill the commandments of Jesus as we've seen them. Mm-hmm. Is our job to present the world as a, you know, do we, like, okay, Jesus, here you are, you've come back, great, we've made this world as great as we possibly can for you. Mm-hmm. Or do we say, Jesus, you're back, this is great, I've made myself as holy as I possibly can for you. Or is it something both? What's the thought on that? I'm just curious.
Well, I would say it's probably both.
Okay. Like,
I mean, we want to be obedient to the one who has saved us, and so that means holiness and the personal character and trying to imitate Jesus, but it's also being about the things that please the Lord, the things that are on his heart, you know. He had compassion on the crowds, and so he acted. And I think it is naturally going to result in us doing the things that beat with the heart of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Not that we're ever going to bring the kingdom ourselves, but we're just trying to be in step with the king, mm-hmm. right? And so I think it is. It's more than just my personal self and being, you know, in love with Jesus and being personally white and righteous or whatever, white being a metaphor for righteousness, not race. but it's about living a life for him, right? Mm-hmm. That is for him.
Yeah.
And then as far as the task goes, that's why I asked that, is like, I think that varies as widely as the individuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally we're pursuing the kingdom. We're trying to win disciples and make followers of Jesus, but the shape that that work takes is very different, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. From homemakers to, you know, governors to, you know, mechanics, to whatever it is that God's called us to do, mm-hmm. which is also just a beautiful thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to give up being a human being to be a follower of Jesus. There's mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff that we do with our bodies and with our hands and our minds that's intended to be part of the kingdom. Mm. Yeah. But we do it for a different reason. We do it for not our glory. We do it for his. We do mm-hmm. it for what his bigger vision is of the community, of peoples.
Well, and I really appreciate that answer, too, because then that shows that, you know, this is not an either or, this is a both and. Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes, I know I've gotten caught up in, okay, I need to do this. This is what Jesus wants me, and it's only this. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, only this personal characteristic I need to grow on, or it's only this thing I need to do in the world. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, it's, we can do both, and that's okay. So I really appreciate that answer. Mm-hmm. That's very yeah. helpful.
You can't pull it apart. You know, as I think about that readiness, I get this picture of it's facing in Jesus' direction, right? So I think of the story of the prodigal, and the father in the story, of course, pointing toward God. And he's looking for the son. He's facing that direction. He's waiting. That's his welcoming. He's looking for his return. You told the story about a military family, I mm-hmm. believe, in the sermon, too, and that they did some things with signs and had other stuff ready. But they were also kind of facing in his direction. They were looking for that return. Mm-hmm. I think part of that facing in direction is just what Tim said, what you were asking, Austin, just how do we live? And we're supposed to live the way that God has taught us to live and how he calls us, how we've seen Jesus live. And in doing that, whether that's internal piety and growing in my relationship or more leaning out in the relationships with the people around us, you can't separate them, but all of that is to face Jesus' direction. And we're ready. We're looking for his return, mm-hmm. Ready to embrace him and humbly bow before him whenever the planning committee decides. come back, so. But yeah, that for me is helpful, just like facing in his direction. That's my life's oriented toward Jesus, mm-hmm. if I'm ready.
Yeah. So that's a good image. Yeah. I like that.
I think there's a phrase, if anyone else wants to look this up for this, but center set theology, I think, mm-hmm. is what it's called, where, you know, as long as we're moving towards the center, mm-hmm. that's what's really important. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing as I'm looking over all my questions, I really like fixated on your examples and your analogies, and I apologize because I know that analogies only go so far. Metaphors only go so far. But I'm a sucker for them. So I think
I was going to say, it's kind of like
another metaphor. another one that you used that I thought was great was the analogy of the ladder on the wall. Hmm. And you know, you want to make sure that we're living with the proper end in sight and that we've got our ladder up on the right wall, mm-hmm. That we're even climbing the right building, which I think is super important. Again, we want to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. We're center set. We're looking at Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're not looking at something else and thinking that's Jesus. My question with that, I mean, I know that, and we've talked about this from time to time earlier on the podcast, but it's always worth revisiting. You know, we might have spent years of our life climbing one specific ladder and being sure that this wall is the wall for me. Then we find out it isn't. We find that wasn't the Jesus wall. That was something else. And I may have been wrong. I may have been sinning. I may have been hurtful. How do we accept that failure well and then reconfigure so that we're climbing the right wall, climbing the right ladder? How do we do that with grace?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think, you know, that we actually have not just one wall and one ladder that we climb, but we are always after different goals, right? And then we're like, oop, that wasn't really the right thing. Or I thought this is what God wanted me to be about, but it wasn't it. And so I think grace, you ended that question with grace. I think that's the answer, right? It's like, just like the thief on the cross, Jesus encouraged him, you're going to be with me and in paradise. You know, he had gotten his ladder on the very wrong wall his whole life. But it's okay. I mean, maybe what really counts for the Lord is that we realize it and we commit our lives to him, whether we have 10 minutes left to live or, you know, 50 years.
Right.
And we have all eternity to serve him then with the proper orientation. And maybe that's what he's after. It's like, so there has to be grace. God, we all need it, right?
Right.
We always, you know, we do the best we can. Even when we're well-intentioned, we don't always get it right.
That's important, right? We all make mistakes. We all are on the wrong wall at times. And not to, I guess, not to be overburdened by that, you know, because it can easily become like, well, I'm the mistake, right? And I, you know, I've spent all this time on this wall, and so I'm, you know, not even worth saving, right? And that's where we got to be reminded of the grace. And so part of it is just, yeah, we're all on the wrong wall sometimes, or sometimes we're trying to hold between two. Now I'm thinking of Donkey Kong with all those ladders. You know, some of them are broken, and sometimes there's a big barrel coming at you. You know, but that, what Tim said is right. I couldn't help another metaphor.
That's a great one, honestly.
But we need the grace of the Lord. And so what Tim just said about just casting ourselves on him and then in trust that this is what he said. He'll do it. He'll bring us through. He'll save. He'll forgive. You know, he's the mistake eraser, as it were. And so I think that is huge. And I think you pointed out before, Austin, sometimes we need help seeing that we're on the wrong wall. And that maybe is a different conversation. Mm-hmm. Some others can, in relationship, point that out. Often God's word can point that out to us. But once you've seen that, you know, just to understand this happens, we make mistakes. You know, David, everybody else, Moses was on the wrong wall at times. And the thief on the cross is a good example, because it was clearly on the wrong wall. Mm-hmm. And then yet here's Jesus saying right away that now you're on the right one.
Yeah.
So you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm so glad God included the thief in the stories of the gospel.
What a relief, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next Sunday, is that the closing sermon that you're giving, Tim, of this sort of farewell series?
Yeah, or not this coming. That's not this Dan.
Okay, Dan.
Dan's this Sunday.
Yeah, we can talk about the next two.
I was going to say, what's this next Sunday looking like?
Yeah, we've been alternating. So this week, today, actually, this Wednesday the 14th, is the start of the season of Lent. And so this Sunday is the first Sunday of that. And so we're going to do a Psalm 25, which has some of the Lenten qualities in it. There's some kind of confessional components and drawing back to the Lord, asking him to mold and teach. But one of the things we'll connect with, the beginning and the end of the psalm, David asked the Lord, in trust, don't let me be put to shame. Mm-hmm. And shame is something we deal with in our lives for a lot of the reasons David lists. There's just personal disappointments we have. There's enemies and failures, and we all deal with that. And how does this psalm help us understand some of the things we just talked about, frankly, you know, how turning to the Lord and seeing him for us, and also being vulnerable before the Lord. David is very, very honest in this psalm about some of his sins and just dealing with that, how great they are, and yet how the Lord can forgive. And so I hope that's a helpful piece for us as we deal with those kind of failings and shame sometimes in our lives too. Yeah. But then, the week after, Tim's going to give his finale. So if you want to plug that, that's fine too.
It's still in the works. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. It's not going to be a journey theme. But it's the text is going to be Philippians 1, which is really Paul's missionary letter to the church at Philippi. So I thought that would be fitting as we transition to a different role with Friendship as missionary. So the theme will be along the lines of partnering in the gospel and what that looks like.
Awesome.
As together with Friendship and us. So
nice. Well, sounds like we've got a lot of good things to look forward to. I'm super excited for that. Well, thank you, Tim and Dan, for coming on and talking today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and listening. As always, this is such a blessing, and we will be here next week.